Welcome once again to the Soccer OG. Hey, that's me, Max Bretos. This is episode 196. As always, a reminder to rate, review, download, subscribe, and tell a friend of our pod. Check out the Soccer OG on YouTube under my name, Max Bretos, for visual stimulation. We talk U.S. soccer, we'll talk MLS, we'll talk everything. That's my promise from me to you. I really love what we put together here. Me as the executive producer, booking guests. I wanted to get Pablo Ramirez on this show for a long time. Today we got it. Pablo Ramirez is one of the best, if not the best, soccer broadcaster in the United States, working multiple World Cups, covering Liga MX, and now covering MLS. I've been able to share the road with him a little bit. He has an amazing story to tell. We'll talk about how Mexican and American soccer is blending together and how it is going to work. And he'll give great tips for young people out there on how to make it in this business. You're going to want to look forward to that. Later on, check complete. The big story this week, certainly here in the U.S., was Wrexham. And a lot of people said a lot of interesting things about it. So I will give you my thoughts on it, about how we should view it, and really just emphasize what a genius idea it was. But we'll get into it. We'll dig a little deeper about the phenomenon that is Wrexham, and welcome to Wrexham. Always great to spend some time with you. Right now, it's time for the rundown.
All right, let's get into it. The rundown. Champions League quarterfinals. First things first. When we get the draw, we should always pull for the two best teams, which I think we clearly had in Real Madrid and Man City. I know there's a chance that neither win it, but those were the two best teams. The two best to watch. The two most star-studded squads, no question about it. We got to pull for them to make a quarterfinal. Not a semifinal, a quarterfinal. Because it illuminates the whole tournament. The round of 16 was awful. Awful. The semifinals may not be that good. I think they'll be all right. But Real Madrid and Man City, we got 210 minutes of it. Plus penalties. Instead of a cagey 90 minutes in the final. We were given a gift. So appreciate that. I mean, the first game was amazing with all the games. But the second game, even though Real Madrid squeezed it. And we're a little bit negative in the tactics. A little bit. It was nerve-wracking. Did you guys feel that? I was just watching that game. I was like on the edge of my seat. I can't believe one of these teams' campaign is going to end. That was just wonderful. And that's why I watched the game. I know that's why when you listen, many of you here watch the game as well. That was the good stuff. The big story out of the quarterfinals is that there are no English teams remaining, which is refreshing. There wasn't an English team. The 2020 tournament, which we kind of have to put an asterisk next to because it was COVID, which was a great tournament. Do you remember that? We didn't have any soccer, and all of a sudden, UEFA says, we're going to have this little mini tournament in Portugal, and there were surprises. PSG-Bayern final, which might be the final again. And we had Atalanta and Leipzig making these surprise runs. It was fun. That was a fun tournament in front of empty stadiums. Take that one out, and all the way back for like 8-9 years, you have an English team in the final, two English teams in the final, two English teams in the semifinals at the very least. So this is a big departure. And I haven't seen people say this because I don't want people to go, hey, look, the Premier League's overrated. It's not. And I am far from a cheerleader for the Premier League. I've been very critical of it over the years. But it's like I watch a lot of the games. And no league competes. Not even the Champions League can compete with it. The Premier League is a better product. You turn on those games and everything is compelling and important. And you don't get that in La Liga. You got that in the Champions League in the quarterfinals. But you don't get it prior. The Champions League has been pretty brutal until the last 2 weeks. That's a fact. Fact. You don't get that in the Serie A. Serie A is, the more I watch it, I mean, my eyes are closing. I'm not taking a shot. It's an amazing league, but it's hard to watch. I watch it because of the American players, and that's the hook. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't watch it because we can't watch everything. I try to watch as much as I can. It becomes an issue. You know, I've been in sports, and I've had to take a diet on sports. And now I have to start taking a diet on some of the soccer because I got to watch stuff that I'll talk about and I work about. So there is nothing that touches the Premier League. It is the best league. It is the best league by miles. And I include the Champions League in that conversation. So there you have it. Arsenal blew it. Blew it in that first leg. And we're flat in that second leg. Fell asleep on the Bayern goal. Arsenal probably should have gone through. And these were the only two Premier League teams to make it that far ages ago. I mean, Liverpool are going to be out. I'm recording this before the Europa League. They're going to be out. West Ham's going to be out. I think Aston Villa is the last hope of the English teams. So we'll see. They could be completely out of Europe, which, again, is not a reflection on the league by any means. Gab Marcotti tweeted that it could cost the Premier League a fifth team in the Champions League. If they're going to expand and they're not going to give the Premier League a fifth team, then the Champions League is being disingenuous. And I will say that that the Premier League will start thinking about, hey, do we need this? I mean, the Premier League is getting huge. We have seen there's things happening with the FA Cup. They're downsizing the FA Cup a little bit. The Premier League is an irresistible force, and they're going to rip things, everything in their path. And there might be a day when they say, we don't need it. We don't need Europe. I doubt it. I'm just jumping the gun. But I'm just saying the Premier League is so massive, and I just see it every week. The product heads and shoulders above everything else. And I have no loyalty to England, I can tell you. And by the way, the English national team is another one. England's doing it right. The English national team and the young players they're creating with Cole Palmer and Phil Foden and Jack Grealish, amongst many, many, many others. I mean, you look at these young players coming up on Chelsea and Man City, I mean, and a variety of clubs. That's a result of the Premier League. That's a result of these young players getting into these clubs that are completely organized, that have got coaches, top, top coaches at every level, the best coaches in the world. So England is the beneficiary of all of that. So I'm just here. I mean, I don't think that was a narrative at all. Anyone who's smart would say that the Premier League is overrated, but this is what we have. So we have Dortmund, who maybe just flattened. I mean, I wouldn't say Diego Simeone's done because he has overcome so much. And I almost prefer to have Dortmund. Dortmund's a very fun team to watch. And then I love the PSG story. And we learned they're more than Kylian Mbappe. He scored two goals. He was maybe the fourth or fifth best player in that second leg. Remarkable comeback against Barcelona. A huge meltdown. Xavi, by the way, attacking the referees. He's wrong. The calls, by and large, were right. Not all of them. But PSG deserved to go through. The penalty and the red card, which led to the avalanche on Araujo, was 100% a red card. And this PSG team just answered the bell with so many incredible players. I mean, Donnarumma still scares me a little bit. The best player, I don't think he got man of the match, but there wasn't a better player than Bradley Barcola. He was phenomenal. Dembele scoring a goal in lots of games. Vitinha, Wilfred Zaire-Emery, 18-year-old, another rock star coming through the ranks. And they can lock it down with Hakimi, Marquinhos, and Lucas Hernandez in the back. So I love PSG. They're going to make the final. And they could win it all. I would think the favorites are going to be Real Madrid. But Real Madrid-Bayern Munich is going to be very compelling as well. And we'll tune in. The semis aren't going to be as good as the quarterfinals. I don't think they can. These are some of the best weeks. Both Real Madrid games, Real Madrid-Man City games. The second leg between both legs between Barcelona and PSG. The first leg between Bayern and Arsenal. And the second leg between Dortmund. These were four of the 10, 15 best games anywhere this season. Just a huge showpiece. And the Champions League is going to expand and we'll see what it looks like. Everything's expanding. So, you know, I try to be real with folks here when we see leagues kind of skirting things and doing things. I go, this is happening everywhere, whether it's the World Cup, whether it's the Champions League, whether it's Major League Soccer. They're all doing this, and we can complain about it, but no one's going to hear these complaints. This is the direction of our sport. We're going to get into a wonderful conversation I had with Pablo Ramirez, who is one of the top Spanish language, really one of the top announcers in the United States, and for me anywhere, because to me, the guys I gravitate towards are the ones who are knowledgeable, are passionate, and bring in some levity, which he does. He has beautiful goal calls. He clearly listens. He doesn't use cliches. I want to become a professor for soccer broadcasters. I want to make the soccer broadcaster better in this country. And we'll see if I can I can accomplish that, because that's the next step. I'm getting older, but I listen to a lot of the soccer broadcasters, and they just need a little help. And I think I can do it. And maybe we can get Pablo involved as well. So we're going to have a conversation about that and about USA-Mexico relations on the club level, on the national team level. He was very graceful to do it because English is not his first language, but he knocked it out of the park. And he has a very wonderful story to tell, and he's a really good guy. So for people who've heard Pablo Ramirez in the past, you will enjoy this one. Do want to mention this weekend, I will not be traveling for Major League Soccer. I am doing the rare LA Double. I don't know if anyone's done this. I'm sure someone has. But certainly the Apple deal is short-lived, 2 years. So LAFC has only been around since 2018. So I don't know if this has happened, but I'm sure someone has. I will be broadcasting LAFC Red Bulls from BMO Stadium on Saturday, and I'll be doing the Galaxy Earthquakes game Sunday. So I'm really pumped. Someone who calls LA home. I am a Los Angelino. I am an Angelino at this point, even though raised in Florida, but moved here in 1996. So to be able to do this is not lost on me. So very excited. So tune into Apple TV, MLS Season Pass. Let me know how I did. I'm doing Saturday with Mariano Trujillo. I'm filling in for Rodolfo Landeros there. And then Sunday, I'll be doing it with my partner, Brian Dunsett. But enough of my yapping. Let's get into the business. And Pablo Ramirez, broadcaster for Apple TV, broadcaster for 6-7 World Cups for TUDN and Televisa back in the day. He joins me next. We're into the business, and a guest I've been looking forward to having for quite some time. And I even told him that how rewarding it's been for me to be on MLS Season Pass. And when I get to do a game where he's doing the Spanish broadcast, which happens once in a while, how much I enjoy it. Pablo Ramirez, who everyone will recognize his voice, was called World Cup of TUDN, and now one of the top guys here for MLS Season Pass. Thanks for joining me.
No, thanks for the invitation. Thanks for your words. Thanks for your friendship. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to stay here with you.
I got to ask you, MLS, I mean, because you were known for calling Liga MX, but I hear you covering MLS, and it sounds like you've been doing it for years. I know you're a pro. You're a profesional.
Thank you.
But how is it? How has that been for your preparations to get into this new league for you and push it up to such a nice level?
There are two things to start. I was in the tryouts for the inaugural season in 1996, I was in Del Mar, California, close to San Diego, which approximately 7 or 8 teams was doing the tryouts, and I was there.
To play?
Yeah.
To play in MLS?
Yeah, with San Jose. But I don't know that the system was different. I need to go directly to the MLS and ask for an opportunity. And I was directly to the training camps asking for every team that I was there. And it's very interesting because you have a lot of access to the players now. I'm talking actually. You have a lot of access to the players, to the coach, also to the referees, to ask some questions, to talk with them, to get some stuff that is very important for the preparation every game. I think this is very util.
You were a portero, right? You were a goalkeeper.
I was trying to. I was playing in Chivas in the minor leagues from 83 to 86.
When did broadcasting come into play? When did you know you wanted to do that?
Because I study advertising and I get my license. In Mexico, you need a license to be a... How do you say, locutor?
A broadcaster. Play-by-play.
Yeah. License A is for TV. License B is for radio. And I was this backup playing soccer. I got my license. And I was working like a cameraman in a local station in Guadalajara. And part of my working is doing the cameraman at the stadiums. And I get this relationship with the others play-by-plays, the other broadcasters. Until one day somebody told me, hey, you play soccer, you speak well, you have a license. Why? Try to do this. And I was not so convinced until somebody told me, hey, we need a guy with a, it was an emergency. We need a guy with a license because we need a play-by-play for the Mexican Lucha Libre.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
Lismark.
Super Muñeco. I lived in Mexico a little bit. I remembered all the lucha. I loved it.
And that's why my start. I started the Lucha Libre in 1989, in Guadalajara, Jalisco, in Mexico. After that, I'm doing some news in the Sports Reporter, and then go to the play-by-play for the soccer games.
Amazing. Amazing story. I'm so glad I asked that. Is when you get the license, does you need to take some classes, right? You need, so the whoever hires you knows that you have done enough to be on air. Is that?
Yeah. I get the license because I need it for some radio commercials and get some money.
Yeah.
Was at the school. And then I say, yeah, maybe a radio, a commercial from the radio, a little bit of money. And then after that, I got the opportunity in Televisa Canal 4 in Guadalajara, in Mexico.
And when did the move happen to the U.S.?
Because I started to be on camera in 89. In 94, I was thinking, I'm the man from the World Cup. At least from Televisa Guadalajara.
You were calling the World Cup for Televisa back then in 94.
I was thinking of that.
Ah, gotcha.
And Televisa, it's a local station. It was a local station. It was an affiliated. And they told me, hey, we have no budget. We're not doing nothing. You stay here. And what's the...
They never have a budget, Pablo. They never have a budget.
It looks like. And I saw these programs. Remember Don Francisco in Univision?
Yes. Sábado Gigante.
Sábado Gigante. And when they finish a program, it was the promo. Univision. La cadena del mundial. Hey, okay. I call. I ask for Jorge Hidalgo, the president from sports.
Yes.
And I say, hey, you know what? I think you need a Mexican play-by-play. I think you need a guy like me. And it was a story. He told me later that my resume is nothing impressive, only 4 years. But he agreed that he needed a Mexican person to do the reporter. And it was like all start.
And you would end up calling how many World Cups for Univision? So because it went to Telemundo in 2018. So
I got seven.
Seven?
1994, France 98, Korea and Japan 2002. Germany 2006, South Africa, Brazil, and Russia. Seven.
Eight or seven. Seven. 94, 90. Increíble. It's interesting you said, I admire you for saying that, because the Mexican public, we have great announcers, but they're not Mexican. There's Andres Cantores, Argentinian. He was usually the voice and now with Telemundo. And then you had Jorge Ramos, who's from Uruguay. And they are broadcasting to a Mexican public, and people get used to it. And they're, I mean, those are two idols of mine, as are you, Pablo, although we're the same age, so it's okay. but you are the one that I remember being the Mexican voice for the Mexican people. I think that's really important. I mean, I think you can have everything, but I think that at the end of the day, especially when you're covering Mexican games, it makes it easier for the audience. Is that fair?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. What if just hearing some of this, it's like I was going to ask this you later, but advice to people, because to make it in this business, is always hard. I think it's harder now. I think, just looking at it. But for you to pick up the phone call and call the jefe at the cadena de la cadena del mundial, or to do those things, or to go from the camera to that's what is required. I mean, what would you say is if somebody asked you, how can I do this? How can I maybe one day call important soccer games?
Two things. Passion.
Exacto.
Passion for because all we start like a fan. I was a fan. I am still like a fan. And you need to get some passion, because the people notice when you got passion for what you're doing, for the sports, for, hey, this guy is really feeling what he's saying. That's the first one, passion. The second one, read. Read a lot. Read books, science fiction.
Everything.
Things. But read, because it contributes to get more words. A lot of vocabulary is not always the same. Here comes the guy. Here comes the guy. Here comes the goal. You need to get the pelota, the balón, the esférica, the circunferencia. Please.
The circunferencia. I've never heard you called that.
Yeah, the circunferencia.
That's the name for the ball.
Yeah. Passion and read. Read anything, but read.
I love it. I actually started reading Shakespeare many years ago, and it helped me. It helped me with to paint the picture a little bit. So I'm glad you said that. I also want to ask you, because you remind me, the way I broadcast, and I've changed a little bit. I mean, I've got a little more serious, I guess. But when I started, I was having a lot of fun. Maybe I had too much fun. But you have fun. And I think that's important. You could see it. You are, you know, you'll make a chief day here, a joke. But you have fun. And to me, I the people I gravitate towards are folks like that. I know that's probably not the advice you give to people, but I prefer to hear. I mean, I like all broadcasts, but when I hear people having fun, it makes me have fun.
It's because I think the people who is watching you want to be funny, want to have some fun. Finally, this is a game. And sometimes we are very serious.
We are.
I you got my point. Try to get some fun. It's a game. It's a party. It's a soccer game. And the people, I suppose they don't want something like it. It's 4-3-3 with sometimes it changed for 4-2. And then it's not the carrilero. It's the volante lateral. It's okay. But finally, it's a game. It's fun.
Yes.
It's passion.
It comes back to the passion.
Yes.
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 Let's talk about, because I know you're enjoying MLS. And they had a release, 100 Days to Leagues Cup, new tournament. How do you think it might work where MLS and Liga MX, it's not just Leagues Cup. They obviously have CONCACAF Champions. The All-Star Game, El Juego de las Estrellas, is also part of those relationships. I know it has to work because MLS wants it, but Liga MX wants it too. Is this a relationship that continues to grow?
Yes, yes. You got the chance in USA, for instance, to see Querétaro, to see Puebla, to know another teams besides Chivas, America, Cruz Azul, Pumas. And then in Mexico, besides the tournament is in USA, you got the chance to say, hey, this league is growing.
MLS.
It's growing so fast. Because, for example, everybody was like surprised about Columbus and Tigres. But you remember the Toronto from Sebastian Giovinco?
Yes.
Was a great team.
In CONCACAF Champions too, yeah.
Yes, and now you can see in Mexico how in the USA you can get some players from the great level, from the great leagues, there is Yakumakis, there is Thiago Almada, there is Lucho Acosta. And maybe they are players that has the opportunity to go to Mexico and they don't want it. Maybe.
Ah, they have options.
Yeah, why not?
Do you think MLS will get more popular in Mexico? Because this, I notice, because I'll watch the shows, Football Picante and all of those, and they'll talk about MLS. And I don't think they talked about it a few years ago. They'll talk with sophistication. And they know who's on LAFC, and they know who's on the Red Bulls. But is it the public, you think, paying more attention, at least a little bit?
Yes, yes. Yes, because now this league, the MLS, is very, how do you say, very interesting.
Yeah.
You have a lot of entertainment in this league. And then you can get now some people, forget Yakumakis, for instance. You can get in Mexico the opportunity to see the Cucho Hernandez, the Chicho Arango. It's closest to us. They are from South America.
Yeah.
And you can see teams can now be a real opposite to Mexican teams.
I see, yeah.
And then I think the people in Mexico is paying more attention to the MLS. And what's this point? It's no more Chicharito. It's no Carlos Vela. It's not a lot of Mexicans playing here, but the people is still watching.
Yeah. It's the el proceso. And one day there won't be Messi. And people, I think, will still watch because they'll get used to. And there'll be a new player. There'll be another player that comes along. It's funny when you say Chicho, Arango, and Cucho, because maybe a few years ago, before MLS was bringing players from the exterior, those players probably ended up in Mexico. A guy like Thiago Almada, they would spend. But now they compete with MLS. So there is a rivalry.
Yeah, and a great rivalry. Yeah, the Mexico versus USA, the national teams. But this is one of the other points from the League's Cup, the rivalry. The last tournament, the USA was like a very good. The MLS was very good. Now it's something like we're going to take some revenge, maybe, in a way of thinking from Mexican people.
Yeah, it's very rare MLS had that. Did that bother people in Mexico that the League's Cup was two MLS teams in the final, or are they still getting used to it?
No, sorry, I don't get it.
Like in Mexico, like when they see the League's Cup and it, America or Chivas or Tigres didn't win it, it was Miami and Nashville was in the final. Did that get the Mexican, el público mexicano, did that get them a little like upset, or they're like, we're not used to the League's Cup yet?
Oh, they were upset because you have the best of the best. You have all the teams. And then you have two from Monterrey and Tigres, and the four more populars. Pumas, Cruz Azul, Chivas, America. And there is no one in the final? No one?
I'm telling you.
And then, for instance, the people from Chivas. Are we lost with Kansas?
No puede ser.
It's like, hey, wake up, man. Wake up.
What's your club? Remind me, what's your club?
I don't know if you know it. Because
is it Atlas?
They exist in the second.
Oh,
year.
You told me this. Shh. Tecos?
Los Tecos.
Los Tecos. When I first watched, because there was no TV, there's no games on English TV, we'd watch Liga MX. And I remember Tecos was in the first division, and Celaya and Toros Neza. I loved it. And then these teams have all gone down, but they still have the big ones. But Deco's had a nice time, and I love that they have the owl.
Yeah, yes, here, big one.
Very nice. That's a university, right? That represents the university in Guadalajara.
The private, pretty famous.
But Pablo, we're talking about rivalries. What's going on with El Tri? Is it concerning as a Mexican to see what is happening, and now living here and seeing the emergence of the U.S. team, is it just something that happens now? It'll get better? How do you think?
I don't see great results in a short term, because, for instance, actually, in Mexico, you have not a Christian Pulisic. Who's the Mexican Pulisic? Really? Just to say one. And then, if you look at the other great players in Mexico, their lack of experience. And if you see the players from USA, Makini, Serginho, Reina, now, in Mexico, we have not a player with that type of game.
Like a bit a fantasista in some case, a guy who's creative and...
Yeah, yeah. And these kind of guys that can change the game in a few seconds. I think in Mexico, they are very worried.
But no sign of it getting better anytime soon, you feel, because we haven't seen these kind of players. There's good players, but not that kind of player. And you need that kind of player.
Yes. That's
interesting.
From here to the World Cup from the 26, I don't see nothing different.
Pablo, and I say this because I think it's very important that Mexico's good. And I know in the United States, they're happy that Mexico's struggling, but I think we, as the United States, can't get better unless Mexico's a similar rival and vice versa. So when you say that, it hurts me because I know it's essential because we don't have UEFA or CONMEBOL to play games. We have to rely on Mexico and Canada. And if they're good, we'll be better. That's how I see it.
Yes, that's important that all the national teams get the same level to try to increase, to try to be a better national team.
How's it been? How's the road been for MLS? Is there a favorite city you've been to?
Are you asking for foods?
Well, it has foods at the top of the list. If you have time to roam around.
No, this is. I think this is very important.
Or favorite stadium as well. Maybe you can think of a club that impressed you.
San Luis, maybe.
I remember we did the game in St. Louis. That was very impressive. What they've done there.
Cincinnati, mm-hmm. Columbia. I admire the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, but I prefer these small stadiums.
Igual.
Remember the passion when you can feel, when you can see, when you can get the noise. These little stadiums for me are fantastic. And then for me, it's very important because I'm from Mexico. In Mexico, if you work from Televisa, you have the rights from 7 or 8 teams. If you work for TV Azteca, you have 5 or 6 teams. The broadcasting rights. If you're working in Fox, you have 2 or 3 teams. But now we're working in MLS and we are access to 29 teams. You see, you can see every team, you can see every city, you can see every stadium. There's no limits. And I think this is very, very good for us doing the broadcast.
There is no limits. That's a great way to put it. I like that. I'm going to start using that because this is unlike anything.
For you, my friend. That's free for you.
Free. Because there's nothing, I don't know if there's anything going to be like this because any soccer league, if it's Liga MX, like you said, everyone wants a piece so they can, until MLS grows to a point where they can, to where they're at the level of the Premier League or the Champions League where you can sell to a bunch of people. But this is once in a lifetime where the whole world is listening to us. That's pretty good. In Mexico, they're listening to you. In Argentina, in places like England and Germany, they might be listening to me. That's a very powerful feeling.
For instance, like 2 weeks ago, I did a voiceover from a sports documentary from United Kingdom.
Oh.
And they contact me. Because they hear me on Apple TV with the MLS.
Look at that. Abriendo now, puertas.
I think I'm so British, you know?
You know, it's, El británico Pablo Ramírez.
Sir Pablo Ramírez.
Sir Pablo. Pablo, what a wonderful time to chat with you always. I appreciate it. And thanks for joining me on the podcast to share your wisdom. And we look forward to hearing you forever, as long as you want to be calling it and you don't want to get back into doing cameras or anything.
Two things. I admire you for understanding me in English.
Dude, your English is great.
In my house, maybe.
No, and man, it's muy bueno.
The second one, Max, you know, te quiero.
Pablo, igualmente, te quiero mucho. I've been able to fortify a friendship with this man the last couple of years. It's been wonderful. And now we get to do this. But I appreciate you, and we'll see you on the road soon.
I hope so.
Ah, yes. Pablo Ramirez, Inside the Business End. We'll be back with Check Complete. We're going to talk about Wrexham and the future of American investment in the sport. This is the Soccer OG. Time now for Check Complete. And the big story at the beginning of the week, and it was a big American story, there's no question about that. Wrexham, their second straight promotion into League One. Owned by Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, who have done something we've never seen before. Took a big risk getting into Wrexham, put in the work, built a squad that immediately after 3 years have made two promotions. And now they have their eyes set on the English Championship. And I, for one, would not bet against them. So this is quite a phenomenon. As you probably have seen it, many people have become Wrexham fans. And let's take a look at what Wrexham have been able to accomplish. In the double promotions, they have made Wrexham whole, long-suffering as they hit hard times. Although they had a loss, I think last year, there was reports about a $12 million loss, that the club will not be in the red moving forward. The two owners, one who is Canadian, so we have to make that too. Ryan Reynolds is Canadian, so this is not just an American story. Over these 2 years, they've made the double promotion. They have created a TV show, Welcome to Wrexham, which is hugely lucrative, has Disney behind it now, has a shelf life for, I don't know. I mean, that show, why would they get rid of it at this point? They could go another 3-4 years, especially if there's success, which right now there's no reason to believe there isn't, that could be a show that just keeps getting numbers, gets advertising. It's going to be massive. I want to make sure you know this is a business decision. This was a club that was worth about $1 million, $1.5 million. It's now worth $11 million. That valuation is going to continue to grow. I don't know if they're going to go up to the championship, but they're not going to drop back down. The resources are too high. And in addition to Welcome to Wrexham, very savvy businessmen, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, were able to use their connections to get TikTok on the shirts, to get Aviation Gin, amongst others. I mean, using their Hollywood connections and their business connections. Because I don't want to classify these as Hollywood dudes. They are. But, you know, I mean, Ryan Reynolds really is more business. I mean, we're going to have the Deadpool movies, but that's the only movies that I met him once. He is a lovely guy. You could just see it. He's a good dude. But, I mean, he is more businessman than actor at this point because he's so good at that part. So we're talking about big, big money. So they've done it all right. And that is, it's a fantastic story. They have had Wrexham do tours of the United States where I think it was at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. They played Chelsea. It was like 30, 40,000 people. They're going to come again. They played the 7-7. So they're in on everything. And that is clairvoyance from this ownership group. So they have been thorough in making Wrexham a phenomenon. And there are Americans and Canadians and people all over the world, I'm sure, they're spending their hard-earned money. And instead of going to a beach or Mexico or Italy, they're spending their hard-earned money and they're going to Northern Wales to see the town or see a game. Not for me, by the way. And I don't know, I mean, I've watched the show. It's just not for me. Look, I'm here today because I fell in love with the sport, and a big part of that love was seeing the British game, to seeing how important it is over there and how I wanted it over here in the United States.
But I did see some of the first season. And like, and look, Rob McElhenney, I remember he said it. He goes, if we don't get promoted, this is not sustainable. So if they don't get these promotions, this project probably, you know, if they're still in the National League or whatever they call it, this show is over, this project's over, and Wrexham is back to where they were, the city and the club. And that's nothing against Ryan or Rob. They tried. But man, did they try. And the way they tried, and I just, look, we, the one thing I do on Twitter these days, we rile up people because there's so much complaining and no one listens to the complaining. And I don't mind the complaining. I just want it to be constructive, and I want it to be not, you know, 100% in one direction, uncompromising, where you hate everything. Sometimes there really are two schools of thought. There's like this MLS system, I guess. And then there's like, hey, promotion, relegation, cup competition. There's got to be a gray area. I mean, I work for MLS. I support MLS. I want to have the cup competition. I would like to see Pro Rel one day, but it's not ready for it now. You can't tell a club, say San Diego next year, who spent $500 million to come in, and all of a sudden say, by the way, you might get relegated next year. It just can't happen. I think Pro Rel is on the horizon. And the Pro Rel people I argue with, say, ah, that's a company line. Why can't you do it now? I go, you can't. So I bring up Wrexham because, A, it's phenomenal, and I don't want to diminish it. I do want to say it's not your prototypical plucky upstart Cinderella story that we see in Pro Rel that we want to see so much, which drew us in, which we saw with Portsmouth, which we saw with Stockport County. It is, they had a huge advantage, not just with the money, with the resources. For example, James McLean, Irish international, plays for them. Ben Foster came in last year. These are players that would not be bothered to play for a League Two side unless they had that extra layer of this being a once-in-a-lifetime situation. Same with Paul Mullen as he came down to play for them. Same with Phil Parkinson, the manager. This is a once-in-a-lifetime situation, and they jumped at it. If this was another club without Ryan and Rob and they asked these guys to come and do this, they would have gotten a no, I am sure. Probably across the board. And they're not making a lot ton of money, but that is sitting down with two extraordinary men and selling them their vision. And they're like, yes, I'm in. So it's great. So, but that's how you get promoted. You've got to have owners with a vision. But I see some people saying like, this is this Cinderella story, and the non-educated soccer American fan, that is what they're being fed. And I don't want to feed them nonsense because it's disingenuous. And it's, we have got to be honest with not just the audience we have, but the audience we want to have. So I that bothers me when we kind of paint it in a way. We got to paint it in the right direction. So we have the Wrexham situation, and just to further emphasize how it kind of got out of control, Alexis Guerrero, who's a good friend of mine, is on CBS Golazo, and he said that Wrexham has done more to develop the sport in this country than MLS. And just one of the outrageous things I've heard. And I'm sitting there, and it's Alexis and Susanna Collins and Charlie Davies, and I forgot who else was on there. But they were all people that are in this business because of MLS. He's a New York City FC ambassador. Charlie came up with the league. Susanna was part of the content team with MLS. And right, if we're just going to take that snapshot, four people on that desk, all of them are in this business because of MLS. None of them are here because of Wrexham. Wrexham is a wonderful layer, and we need all the help we can get. But I will also say, in Wrexham, they're not thinking about us in the United States. They're not. This is about Wrexham. I mean, we're creating fans here, which is good. But to say that is just pretty preposterous. So I should reach out to Alexis, but I think the ship has sailed. But, you know, we look at that, and the player development, let's not get cuckoo. But that's what I see with this. Is the Wrexham situation has gotten people a little above and beyond. I am not saying that they have not helped the sport develop, and they are going to continue to help the sport develop. And I've been at the gym, and I've seen guys with Wrexham hats and jerseys. I know the effect it has. And there is appeal. There certainly is an appeal to be with something from the beginning. And I know Wrexham's an old club, but this ascension is a feel of coming up out of the ashes with them. And you can jump into and connect with that. And I get it. That's what I did with LAFC. You wanted to be there from the beginning, so to speak. And you can do that. And you can, now that you've jumped in from year one with Wrexham, you can look back and say, yeah, I was there when they came up from the National League. And, you know, and now I'm enjoying life here in the English Championship. Fantastic stuff. I want to shoot straight. I shoot straight, man. And by the way, the conversations that you have online, which are far from real, it gets nasty. And the people say the same things. Go stop. Now, the one they love to say is stop carrying water for MLS. Just because I said this about Wrexham. I just think, let's be honest across the board. Let's close the gap. Let's be realistic. A lot of those folks want MLS to do what the English game does, which allows a story like Wrexham to happen. And I kind of pointed out, you know, they're saying, you know, they've got to help develop the smaller leagues. Let me tell you something, and I know I've said this before. MLS is doing well. They're not doing out of the park well. They don't have the funds to help USL and all these other leagues come up. They got to look out for themselves. And maybe the day will come where they can look out for the smaller clubs. But they're not in that financial situation. This sport, as I've said, is doing good, not great. And we're heading into this important three-year stretch. There's no guarantee what it's going to look like on the other end. A lot of things have to fall into place for soccer to catch into the national imagination. So we will see about that. But to say MLS has to do that, that is going to leave them it's going to leave them on the brink. They can't. So we just got to be real about all of this. They can't do promotion right now. The Open Cup, you know, I'd love to see the Open Cup continued. And, you know, Wrexham has had they've had one really good FA Cup run. They had an okay one this year that I would like to see. That part of our American landscape. But look, the English leagues are starting to change the FA Cup. They're going to get rid of replays. So this is happening everywhere. Cup competition might be on the endangered list. And look, some of the folks that I would listen to, they were like the new form of Open Cup. And everyone said, support the Open Cup. I watched the Open Cup. I'm going to go to games, but I watched the Open Cup. There's nobody there. So where was all this support online and not in the stands? Empty stadium, one after the other after the other. And they would take shots at MLS Next Pro teams that were in there, which were a bunch of kids. They're a bunch of kids. You could pick on MLS, don't pick on the kids. Anyway, that's all. Happy for Wrexham. I wish I could work for people like Ryan and Rob. Some would say that they can't invest in MLS because they have to come in at $500 million. It wasn't that long ago you could have got an MLS club for $20 million. It really wasn't that long ago. So this is a sign of growth there. They could sort of, we need Ryan and Rob and so many others here. We're going to have a conversation about American ownership overseas. We're going to have a very special guest here. I'm working on that right now. And we could see how now that I think it's almost half of, in the English game and in many other leagues, it's like half of the ownership groups are American. And now there's this conversation about playing outside of your leagues, playing in the United States, playing in Asia, real games, not friendlies. And we'll see how that goes. But that is the next thing. That is the next thing that is going to happen in the globalization of this sport and the change of this sport, which will leave a lot of traditions in its wake. Mark my words. Soccer OG, rate, review, download, subscribe. Tell a friend. Thrilled to be with you every week. We'll be back again next week. We might have two shows next week with some great guests. Until I see you again, Placido Domingo!